Okay, finished the first walkthrough this morning. Actually, I was very pleased with the retention that we've had over the course of the 5 weeks that we were off. I thought they did a good job with remembering where we were as far as what we left off with and not making very many mistakes. And we had a good first night of meetings, and we're anxious to get out on the field. Obviously, the first 2 days, we have to be in basically OTA mode, so we won't be in pads. It'll be very similar to what we were doing before. We had a couple roster moves. We signed Andy Cruz as a free agent wide receiver. He spent 10 games with the Texans. We signed Ty Walker. He's a free agent. He was with Green Bay and Seattle on the practice squad. And we waived Josh Cooper, wide receiver, and Matt Hall, offensive tackle. And then we've got three players on PUP. Chase Ford, who obviously you know because he's been tweeting, so we're going to have a discussion about that this evening. And Captain Munnerlin has got a slight little hamstring. And then Andrew Sandejo has got a low back and ankle that he's been dealing with, actually, I guess, since the end of last season. So, questions?
You didn't trip the alarm at 1:30, did you?
I told them they have to be aware of every situation that may come up. but no, that was not me. I wish it was, but I'll have to use it next year.
What's your impression of Captain Munnerlin, and have you learned anything about him you didn't know when you guys signed him?
Yeah, well, I didn't know a lot about him when we signed him, but he's a competitive guy. I think he does a very good job in the slot, knowing where he's at, the different techniques. He's still obviously learning the techniques we have, but I've been happy with him. He's very, very competitive. He likes to talk a lot on the field, so, you know, we got to keep him reined in a little bit, but, you know, that's better than having to go the other way.
Do you envision the injury holding him back at all?
No, he'll be fine.
Just go over the rules and everything like that. I know we can look them up, but what's your understanding of that?
Well, they can't do anything till they get cleared. So, I mean, they can come out and watch practice, but they can't participate in walkthroughs. They can't participate in any practice whatsoever. And so when they get healthy, we'll clear them. They there's no length of time. We could clear them whenever.
Yeah, and then you'll have to obviously make another roster move for the
90. Well, they count. No, they count.
Oh, they count.
They count on the 90. Yeah.
How long do you think on Munnerlin and
You know, it's hard for me to say. I hate to put timelines on things when, especially this early, and I doubt it will be very long, but I don't know.
Are you happy with the condition of the guys coming back after 5 weeks off?
Yeah, very good. Very, very good. They did a nice job in the conditioning test yesterday, so maybe we'll make it harder next year.
You did have to get on anybody?
Pardon me?
You did not have to get on anybody?
We had one guy not make it.
When you look at the film on this team from last year, did you see a 5-win team?
Yeah, I saw a 5-win team, yeah. I mean, yeah, I kind of go by what I see and what the record says. And you know, they lost some close ball games at the end, but, you know, there's so many different factors. And really, last year is last year, and I obviously wasn't here, and none of our coaches were, and a lot of these players aren't here, a lot of the guys we drafted, and so we're not really worried about last year. I mean, we've talked about things that we need to improve on, that statistically that we did last year, but, you know, we're about going forward and getting going from there.
Well, obviously, you know, you mentioned yesterday's situational football was something that you wanted to really stress early on here. I mean, when you look at defenses, talent, scheme obviously count for a lot, but what's the biggest key beyond those for getting off the field on third down, staying tough in the fourth quarter, not letting leads go away? I mean,
Well, with the NFL the way it is right now, you have to be able to cover. You have to be able to contest balls. You have to be in people's face. You have to understand route concepts and where you need to be, and you have to all be on the same page. You can't bust coverages. You can't give up plays like that. And and then the other thing, you know, all the you looked at the top four or five defenses in the NFL, every year they're great tacklers. They're going to tackle. And part of it, they're going to miss tackles, but because guys are getting to the ball so hard that they don't miss tackles. But typically the teams that are lower ranked defensively statistically are poor tackling football teams. They give up big plays. They bust coverages. You know, they don't keep the quarterback contained in the right situation. And so, you know, for us to improve defensively, we've got to cover better, you know. And I don't know where we're at right now because we can't play bump and run at all. But, you know, talking to Norv over the course of the OTAs, he felt like we've improved quite a bit. So, but, you know, it's all – we'll see. And, you know, maybe we know the receivers now and things like that. So we just go from there.
Mike, a lot of the players have talked about the challenge of impressing upon the new coaching staff. Granted, you've had OTAs and other camps, but – how much of a challenge is it for you to have 3 weeks to try to evaluate all these guys as well?
Well, I like to evaluate the players. You know, I like to. The only difficult thing for me as the head coach now, as opposed to being the defensive coordinator, I was evaluating 20, you know, 45 guys, I guess it was, and I'm evaluating 90, so I have to pay a little bit more attention to certain positions, the left guard or the center or the right guard, than, you know, you see the tackles all the time because the defensive ends you're watching go against, but receivers I see all the time. So it's more volume, I guess, for me in trying to get all that done, but that's, you know, I've got a list of things on my board that I want to make sure I do every single day, and that's evaluate all the players, try and figure out what, how they can help us to win football games, what their role can be, and so I try to remind myself every day to do that.
Like, what kind of touchdown do you have that you might be able to get Chase Ford back?
Chase Ford?
Yeah.
I don't know. He had a surgery on the foot, so I don't know.
Is IR eventually a possibility for him? I mean, once you get past, or
I don't know the possibilities. I don't know where it's going to go from here.
And what happens with the one that failed the conditioning test? I mean, is he not practicing now, or you just try to work through it? Or how,
yeah,
how do
he's
you
not
deal?
Practicing now.
Is that Keystone?
No.
Did you have a central message to the team last night when you were talking for the first time together?
I did. Yeah, I did. I talked to him about situational football. I talked to him about, you know, kind of what kind of team I want to be, what kind of guys I want on the football team, why I think this team can win.
Coach, can you talk about Adam Thielen from Mankato? And can
I told him he's a superstar out here today.
Can you be on the practice squad 2 years in a row?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, you can be on the practice squad 2 years in a row. And Adam's actually doing a terrific job. He had he might have been the most improved guy in OTAs. You know, he's a great kid, first of all. He works his rear end off, he runs routes real hard, catches the ball good. He's got an opportunity to make this football team.
Mike, you came out yesterday obviously and said Matt Castle's the number one quarterback entering in training camp. Did you feel it was actually necessary to, you know, make some kind of statement, or what did you consider just throwing one out there, we'll let you guys know, or what kind of went into your mind before making that statement?
No, I figured everybody would ask. I did not feel obliged to make that statement whatsoever, and it doesn't mean that when we play the St. Louis Rams, he's going to be the starter, but he was going to line up with the first team, and I knew that y'all wanted to hear something like that, so... So that's why I did it. It really had, you know, it doesn't mean I think I clarified that when I said it yesterday, that he's number one quarterback, but he's not declared the starter.
Mike, have you decided what you'll do those 2 or 3 weeks with the special teams coach?
We're working through it right now. I think we have a pretty good plan, and I know you're going to keep asking me every single day, but when I have it finalized, then I'll let you know. I promise you, I'll let you know.
When you told the team why you think it can win, what did you tell them? What were the reasons you think this team can win?
I'll keep that between us. You know, the one thing And I've told everybody this before. I always want to be as honest as I can with everybody in this room. I understand you got a job to do and you have to ask all these questions, and I do respect that. However, there's things that I'm going to tell the football team that because I want them to understand they're my guys. You know, they're the only ones that are going to know that. Now, you know, they may tell you or something like that, and then I'll have to have a talk with them. But it's important for me to keep the sanctity of our football team together, where I can trust them, they can trust me, and then we can all go forward in a good manner.
When you're talking about tackling, becoming a better tackling team, is that a matter of getting better players, better tacklers, or can you actually really improve that with practice you're not really tackling in practice?
Yeah, well, you have to. You can't tackle every single day in practice. You can practice tackling, but you're not taking the guys on the ground. A lot of it is being in position, being in the right position. When you're doing drills out here, it's a lot about when you know, you don't just run by the guy, because if you're running full speed and he's running full speed, you're not going to touch the guy. You got to come under control, get in a good position, also knowing where your help is going to be. I think we do a good job of doing that. And then getting a lot of guys to the football. So if somebody misses, you're always going to miss tackles. But, you know, if you're missing 13, 14 tackles a game, you're probably not going to be very good.
What are your expectations for Linval Joseph?
Well, you know, today was actually the first day I've really seen him. You know, he's came in at tremendous looking physical shape. He weighed 317. He's benching 500 pounds. And watching him out there in the walkthrough, which doesn't mean anything, he looked like the guy supposed, you know, like a nose tackle is supposed to look. So to answer your question, I have high expectations of him, but they're reserved a little bit because I've seen him do a walkthrough, you know.
How critical is that position, though, in your defense?
It's critical. It is critical. I was very fortunate in Cincinnati to have Domantas Peko, who's in my opinion, one of the best nose tackles in the league. And on top of that, he's a great guy and a smart guy. so that helps the middle linebacker not get blocked very much. So the things that he does, they do a lot of dirty work that people don't see, and helps to keep linebackers have an opportunity to stay healthy and make tackles.
Do you have any butterflies in your stomach walking out there as a head coach for the first time this morning?
Today? No. We've been doing this for OTAs for 10 days, so no.
How important is it to get Anthony Barr up to speed, considering what he missed of OTAs?
It's important. We're going to push him really hard to try to figure out where we can get him to go and how fast we can get him to go. We have very high expectations for him. Like all rookies, they'll be a learning curve, and then they'll hit a little plateau, and you know, it's kind of like losing weight, hit that plateau, and then you got to work a little bit harder, and then you keep going. But you know, so he may not. I shouldn't. He may or may not have the success early that he's going to have, but I think his ceiling is extremely high.
Coach Jack Greenway has been with your defense, been with this team now for 9 years. How important is he to your system for the defense in general as being the longest-tenured guy here?
Well, Chad, I have the utmost respect for. I always did when I watched the Vikings defense play. You know, he's the kind of guy that really represents the Vikings. A good guy, smart guy, plays real, real hard, studies his rear end off. So those kind of things are extremely important for guys like Anthony Barr, the guys like Brandon Watts, some of these younger guys, to watch how a true professional goes about a game. And the reason why a guy can play 9 years or 10 years or however many years he'll end up playing. But I like Chad a lot. He's very, very hard on himself. Sometimes he should just let it go a little bit quicker. But I'd rather have it that way than not care. He cares. And, you know, that's one of the things that I want. I want guys that care.
Do you see those other two linebacker spots being wide open?
other, yeah, pretty much. I mean, you know, again, like the quarterbacks, we're going to have some guys go out there today, but doesn't mean that they will end up being the starters in week one. You know, that's what training camp. I'll tell you some of the stuff I told them about. You know, it's what training camp is how do we become a team? Okay, how do we become a team and find out roles for everybody? These 3 weeks and 4 weeks before we, and in preseason, it's what we're trying to find out, the roles for each player, what they can do best, and how do we become a team. And then I explained to him what my definition of that was.
Safety spot opposite Harrison.
Well, it's hard for me to evaluate that right now because I haven't seen Sandejo, and today for the in the walkthrough today was the first time I've seen Sanford. But you know, in the NFL now, you have to have a guy that can cover pretty good. One of the safety spots because of the situations you get into. You have Harrison's a pretty smart guy, so you can get by with a guy that's maybe not as intelligent quickly making the snaps, but. You know, our safeties, we're always looking for the same guys. We're looking guys that can cover, guys that are good tacklers, guys that are good blitzers, guys that are good at making decisions. And really, each position, we're looking in the back end, we're looking for guys that have a great acceleration, can get out of a cut.
Gabriel said after practice today Cordero Patterson.
Okay.
He said it's after practice today that he has to talk to you. Can you give us a sense of what that's about?
He said what?
He said he has to talk to you after not going through walkthroughs. He has to talk to you after practice today. Can you give us a sense of what that's about?
I don't know. I mean, we talked yesterday a little bit, but I don't know what it... I'm sure he'll...
Time for two more. Coach mentioned earlier that you were going to have a little chat with one of the guys who says something on Twitter about an injury. Have you conveyed a social media policy to the guys?
No, not really a policy. I mean, I didn't tell them they can't tweet. I guess that's what it's called, tweet. I didn't tell them they can't tweet. I just said, you know, I guess there is a policy. Now that I think about it, yeah. But we actually had that meeting last night, and then it gets tweeted either last night or today. So we'll just have to, it must not have been paying attention in the meeting. So I will fix those things.
Last one. Coach, whether it's a year or 2 years or however long, what will make Teddy Bridgewater an effective quarterback in this league?
Winning football games. That's what they all do. I mean, all the effective quarterbacks win football games, understand their football team and how they can make guys around them better. Teddy's been a really a really good get for us. And so, you know, and like you said, I don't know when it'll be, but I do know that I'm ecstatic to have him. I love his personality. And I was teasing him, you know, this morning about some stuff, and he's got a good head on his shoulders. Good kid. The Vikings fans will be proud to have Teddy Bridgewater here for a long, long time. Good? All right. All right, thank you.
See you this afternoon.